turn with me, if you would, this morning to the second portion of God's word that we have read together in Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57, and if we can read the words that we have in verse 14. And shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. We're coming back this morning, as the Lord will enable us to look at this wonderful prophecy of Isaiah, and particularly the part of Isaiah that's dealing with the coming of Christ and the death of Christ. And we come to this portion of Scripture, and when we look at any portion of Scripture, we must put the Scripture in its context. Quite often you hear preaching that takes the text out of its context, and we really need to put it in its context in order for us to fully understand what a text means and what God is saying to us in his word. It is right that we lay the text in its context. Now, when you come to this portion of Scripture, there are various people that will interpret this. One particular interpretation is that the cast up, cast it, prepare the way is speaking about the children of Israel coming back from Babylon. You can think of how they would come back from Babylon even after the coming of Christ, converted Jews coming back, as it were, from Babylon, and they're preparing the way to come back. But when we look at the context of this verse, I don't think it really does speak about the children of Israel at all, or coming back out of Babylon. Surely the whole of this text, in its context, is all about the coming of Christ and the consequences of the coming of Christ. We've seen in verse how in the servant of the Lord is a suffering servant in chapter 52 into 53. And in 54, you see the blessings that come. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, and so on. The blessings that come from the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we saw last week how there's that great invitation that goes out from the coming of Christ. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. How that great invitation goes out. In chapter 56, we see the wonderful blessing that comes in that even strangers, those who are not the Jews, who are not Israelites, who don't belong to the descendants of Shem, they will be included in the great blessing. Look at chapter 56. Even unto them that I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and daughters, I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord, to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of the covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain. See, even the Gentiles are now being brought in through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come to verse 9, just at the end of the previous chapter, what's going to happen to Israel? What's going to happen to the temple and to the scribes and the Pharisees and the religion there? Well, in the previous chapter, at the end of it, you begin to see the failure of Israel's leaders. It's a failure of their leaders to recognize their Messiah. The watchmen are blind. They are ignorant. They are as dumb dogs. They cannot bark. These are God's watchmen. And this carries on surely into chapter 2, where we read how they have sold themselves even unto strange kings, into a strange king. They have sold themselves down into and followed after Caesar. They've gone to Rome. Thou wentest, he says in verse 9, thou wentest to the king with ointment, and did increase thy perfume, and did send thy messengers far off, and did debase thyself even unto hell. They turned to false ways. And when you come down, you read how these ways have all failed. You read that in the first part, they shall be the wind carry them away, vanity shall take them away. All these different ways have failed. But now, in verse 13, there's a transition takes place. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away, vanity shall take them. Then there's a transition. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and in shall inherit my holy mountain. See, it doesn't matter here whether it's a Jew or Gentile. Whoever it is that will trust in the Lord, they will inherit the land. They will inherit the holy mountain. You see, the Church of Christ has inherited all that the Church of the Old Testament contained within one nation. The Church of Christ now has inherited all of that. They have inherited the holy mountain. They have inherited the land. Now you come to the premillennialist, dispensationalist. He says that the Gentile church is really an aberration. God didn't really mean the Gentiles. His blessing's all to do with one nation. His blessing's all to do with Israel. But you see here, the Gentile church, the Church of Christ today, is not an aberration. It's all part of God's plan. It's all part of God's divine plan that he would bless not only the Jews, but the Gentiles. And now the Gentiles and the Christian church has inherited, shall possess the land, and shall inherit the holy mountain. Now we are going to go on to see that the holy mountain is not Jerusalem. The holy mountain, in verse 15, the high and holy one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the holy place. They inherit heaven itself, the holy place where God dwells. What a great blessing then this is all speaking about with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when that transition takes place, he's talking about the faithless scribes and Pharisees. But now he says that he that put his trust in the Lord shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And then he says, they shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. This is what happens with the coming of Christ. Cast ye up, cast ye up. It's like saying, make this straight. Make it straight. Cast it up. The Hebrew word has it behind it there, is make it straight. What's to be made straight? The way, a highway. It's almost as though what Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Make straight paths for your feet. There has now been a path, there has now been a highway that has been opened for sin and for uncleanness. There has been a fountain open, and there has been a highway that has been opened. This is not the first time that Isaiah speaks of this way or this highway. Go back to chapter 40, when he begins to speak about the suffering servant. What does he say? Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. She has received of the Lord's hand double for all that her sins. The voice of the crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That's at the beginning of the servant of the Lord. There is going to be a highway, a way to God that is opened up, that is called a highway. And here, when you come to chapter 57, Christ has suffered, Christ has died, there are great blessings. What about the religion of the Israelites and the scribes and the Pharisees? It's nothing, it's wind, it will be blown away. But Christ has opened up a way. The cry will be, cast ye up, build it up, start to build. There's a straight way here, a straight path, and every stumbling block will be removed and taken out of the way. Well then, what do we say about this highway, or this way that is cast up, this straight way? What about this highway? Well, a highway is broad, isn't it? Broad, highway is broad. And that's what Christ has opened up. Christ himself is the narrow path that leadeth unto life. But that narrow path leads to a broad way that leads to glory. It's such a highway, a broad way, that it is sufficient to take whosoever will. Let him come. Christ has opened up a way into the presence of the Father. That's a highway that's sufficient to take Jew, Gentile, bond or free. You think of the children of Israel making their way back down to making their way to Jerusalem, either from the captivity or as they would come up three times a year, the men and very often whole families would make their way up on the day for the Day of Atonement, for the Passover. They would make their way to Jerusalem. And these would be narrow paths as they made their way up there. They would be enough to take the Jews making their way to Jerusalem, but that was it. But there is a cry, cast up the path, the highway. There is now such a broad way that it doesn't matter whether it's Jew or Gentile. This broad way is a sufficient way to take whosoever will. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him make his way upon this highway, this path, this way. Cast ye up, prepare the way. Make this abroad, as we saw it in Isaiah 40. It's a highway. It's a broad way. And it is such a broad way that it is sufficient to take every humble sinner that comes and seeks that way. But it's not just a broad way, it's straight. Cast ye up, the Hebrew there is straight. Make it straight. Make this way straight. You can once again imagine the children of Israel coming to Jerusalem. And as they made their way to Jerusalem, they would be making their ways on these narrow roads, but they were windy roads. They would wind their way around the countryside, and eventually they would see Jerusalem in the distance. But these were windy roads that made their way up. They were windy paths. But the way that Christ has opened up to the heavenly Jerusalem, it's a highway. It's a straight way. It's straight. It's straight. You neither need to look to the left nor to the right. You have before you lifting your eyes up into the heavenly Jerusalem. Christ has opened up a way that is straight, that takes you, a highway that takes you straight into the presence of Jehovah, the one who dwells in the high and holy place. This is a highway that is straight. And you make your way on that because Christ has straightened out all the hills, all the different things, all the ways, all the bends have been smoothed out. Cast ye up, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling blocks out of the way of my people. It's a straight way. But my friend, it's a safe way. Why do I say it's safe? Because not only did Isaiah refer to this highway in chapter 40 when he began to speak about the servant of the Lord. But if you go back to chapter 35, he there again speaks about a highway. A highway shall be there. Chapter 35, verse 8. A highway shall be there, and a way that shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Now, once again, you go back to the children of Israel making their way to Jerusalem. Many of the roads, particularly, for example, you read of the road to Jericho. The road to Jericho was a very dangerous road. There were robbers. There were sometimes when they went in these journeys, there was danger. Think of Israel with all the surrounding enemies. And they were made, and they made their ways on these roads. These roads could very often be dangerous for different reasons. But here's a highway that will be made. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Even though they may not understand everything, even though they may be foolish in some things, yet if they're on that highway, they're safe. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, though foolish in so many ways, maybe not understanding so many things, yet they shall not go wrong in there. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Christ has opened up this highway, this straight way. And it's not a road like the Good Samaritan finding a man beaten to death. No, no, no. The redeemed will be there and it will be safe. And my friend, it's one way. It's one way. This is a highway that's going one way. Just as the paths that led to Jerusalem, they were all going one way. You could imagine the people coming, singing these Hallel Psalms as they made their way up to Jerusalem, and even singing, I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me. Or Psalm even 133, the greater Hallel, you know, behold how good a thing it is and how becoming well, together such as brethren are in unity to dwell. They would make their way, if you saw Jerusalem, you'd see all these people coming, and they were all coming to Jerusalem. And these roads, dusty roads, tracks, windy tracks, well, here is a highway that is opened up to the heavenly Jerusalem. You shall inherit my holy mountain, which is the heavenly Jerusalem. And my friend, that's one way that the Lord's people are going. Shouldn't be looking back. They shouldn't be looking to the sides. They should keep their eyes fixed upon the heavenly Jerusalem. They have their eyes fixed there because this is a highway. It's a highway that Christ himself has opened as he came into this world. A highway. But in order for this highway, for someone to be heading towards the heavenly Jerusalem, there were many stumbling blocks. Many, many stumbling blocks in the way. But our text says, cast ye up, straighten up, cast ye up, build it, make it straight, prepare the way, take up the stumbling blocks out of the way of my people. How many stumbling blocks were there in the day when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world? The religion that was there was not a religion that was helping people. They were blind leaders of the blind. And they were stumbling blocks. The scribes and the Pharisees were stumbling blocks to the poor sinner. Think of the man that was cast out of the synagogue, out of the temple because he had been healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was cast out. And because Jesus had blessed him. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees themselves were stumbling blocks. And they themselves had to be taken away. But there were more stumbling blocks. What were the stumbling blocks to this way of this highway unto the heavenly Jerusalem? Well, the holiness of God is the first stumbling block. Look at what he says here in verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Think of the stumbling block that the holiness of God is. Who God is a stumbling block. It's a stumbling block to the religion of the scribes and the Pharisees that have just been spoken about. They rested in their own self-righteousness. But that's a stumbling block to the sinner coming to God's holiness, and where he dwells in the holy place is a stumbling block. And that holiness needs to be dealt with. That stumbling block needs to be addressed. Especially when you discover the sinfulness of man. Man is a sinner. And that's a great stumbling block. How can any sinner, and how can any sinner, unrepentant sinner, come into the presence of such a holy God? He can't. But here he says, take away the stumbling blocks. Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, lived that life of perfect holiness. He had perfect righteousness. And he provides perfect holiness and perfect righteousness, a righteousness which is of God, which is received by faith. Bringing you back to the transition, isn't it, in verse 13? But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land. Not he that puts his trust in himself, but he that puts his trust in me shall inherit, and shall possess the land, and shall inherit the holy mountain. We have to put our trust in Christ, because he himself is the Holy One of Israel. He is the holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, Saviour of God. He is the one who has taken away that stumbling block. In fact, look at what else it says. When the children of Israel came to the tabernacle, when they came and offered up their sacrifices, the sacrifices of blood could never take away sin. There, it could not atone and deal with the conscience. Paul speaks of that later on, doesn't he? When in Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 9, he speaks of this very thing. He says, which the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. In other words, this highway had not yet been established, while at the first tabernacle was yet standing. It was there, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. In other words, the tabernacle itself was but a figure of the truth, and while it was still standing, there could be no true sacrifice that would pertain to the conscience. But what do we read here? Look at verse 15. Listen to these words. Listen to these wonderful, glorious words of grace. For that thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, that's where he dwells, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. So he dwells in the high and holy place, but he also dwells in the heart, the contrite heart, and the humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble. You see, here he's with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. So God is dwelling in the hearts of his people. That's the stumbling block has been removed. A sacrifice has been given that is able to cleanse to the uttermost. And God dwells in the hearts of his people. Christ is formed in the hearts of his people. We are renewed in the image of God, and Christ himself is dwelling in the midst of his people. He is indwelling the heart by his word and spirit. You see, that's a stumbling block that has been removed. Christ provides a perfect righteousness. Sinful man is brought to realize his sinfulness. Notice here in verse 17 how God is going to deal with his people. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and I was wroth. He went on frowardly in the way of his heart. That's a stumbling block, my friend. What a stumbling block there is there to entering in upon the way of holiness. This highway that's been opened. The iniquity of his covetousness. God's anger against him. I hid me and I was wroth. He went on and on in the way of his heart. In other words, this is the unrepentant sinner. This is the sinner. But God is wrathful with him. Look at verse 18 though. I have seen his ways and I will heal him. See, this is a sinner that's brought into conviction. God's wrath is against his ways. But God then will heal him. I will heal him. There will be peace. You see, this is this highway that has been opened by Jesus Christ, a clear way. The stumbling blocks are now removed. A new heart will I give unto them. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. And I will heal him. My friend, that's wonderful. The stumbling block of your the disease of sin is healed. The wrath of God, there is now peace. What a highway. What a wonderful way that has now been opened by Jesus Christ. And you know, the sinner that is blind, is that not a stumbling block to the sinner? How blind he is. Spiritually blind. But provision is made for this. This is a stumbling block that is dealt with. Look what it says in verse 18. I have seen his ways. I will heal him. I will lead him also. And I will restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. God will lead him. Blind man as he is by nature, never sees this way of holiness upon which the wayfaring man goes. Though he be a fool, though there be many things he doesn't understand, though he be foolish in many things, yet in the fundamentals he is brought onto this highway of holiness, and God will lead him along the way. These stumbling blocks are being removed. The Lord, rather than dwelling between the cherubim, as he was in the Old Testament, now dwells in the heart of the repentant sinner. With him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That's how the Lord deals with a poor sinner. Now, what happens, though, to the unrepentant? We have to bring this out, because at the very end of the chapter, that's exactly what Isaiah brings out. There is peace to the repentant sinner. All the stumbling blocks are removed. The Lord leads them and guides them on this highway of holiness. Their ultimate destination is not Jerusalem, the city. It's not Israel as a nation or as a land. It's to heaven that they are going to be brought. They are brought. And there will be peace for them as they make their way on this highway. But what of the wicked? The wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Think of that. If you ever go into a beach down into the beach and you go into the sea and you start to walk in the sea and the dirt is brought up. Or even in a gale, when you see, you used to watch the sea and the wind blowing the sea in, and it stirs up the mire and the dirt. That's the way the wicked are. There is no rest, no peace. The more they stir, the more the mire and the dirt is cast up. But here's the thing. They're not in this highway. They've never found this highway. They've never known the wrath of God against their sin. And the iniquity of his covenant, I was with, and I smote him. They've never had that, been smitten with that. They've never known what it is for God to be angry and his wrath to smite them, and for them to come in humble repentance and to find that there is healing. They've never known that. And what's the crowning thing that's written over them? There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. My friend, there is no peace. There's no eternal peace. There's no spiritual peace. There is no peace, saith God, to the wicked. The wicked are those who are not on this highway. The wicked are those whose eyes are not heavenward, but are earthward, and have no peace. Do we today, my friend, know what it is to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Isaiah begins with the servant. He comes to the suffering servant. He comes to the great blessings to the Gentiles in chapter 56, how even the stranger will be brought in. And now he comes and he says, even to the Jewish nation and to those people. And you see the difference between verse 3. Draw near hither, ye sons of the sorcerers, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. God is going to bring them into judgment. Draw near to me, and I will speak now to you. Think of the difference between verse 3 and what he says in verse 13. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain. There is a broad highway. Cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block, out of the way of my people. My friend, this is a way. It is a broad highway that whosoever will may come, and whosoever will come will find that there is room in this highway, because Jesus Christ has opened up the way to the heavenly Jerusalem. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and most blessed God, we thank thee that as we are reminded of the children of Israel making their way up to Jerusalem, the yearly trip that they would make to that, how many stumbling blocks there were in the way, how many never came, how many made excuses, how many on the way, how many stumbling blocks there were to prohibit them. And as they came in a narrow road and windy road, a dusty road, making the faithful, making their way up to Jerusalem and to the temple where God dwelt between the cherubim. How many stumbling blocks were there even when they came to the temple? Unfaithful priests, unfaithful high priest, a religion that could do nothing for them but leave them lying where they were. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ has opened up a new and living way, a highway of holiness. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. There will be no lion there, no beast there, nothing there that will prevent. Take the stumbling blocks out of the way. Show to the people, cast up to the people the way of salvation, that now there is a way heavenward, to the heavenly Jerusalem. To those that put their trust in me, they shall inherit the land, and they shall inherit the heavenly Jerusalem, the holy mountain. We bless thee that today we can come to thee and we can seek to honour thee. Bless us now, part us in thy fear and with thy blessing. For we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. We'll sing in Psalm 60. In conclusion, singing in Psalm 60. Psalm 60, and we'll sing from the beginning of the psalm. Psalm 60 from the beginning of the psalm. O Lord, thou hast rejected us and scattered us abroad. Thou justly hast displeased been, returned to us, O Lord. The earth to tremble thou hast made, therein didst breaches make. Do thou thereof the breaches heal, because the land doth shake. Unto the people heart thou hard things unshown and on them sent, and thou hast caused us to drink wine of astonishment. And yet a banner thou hast given to them who do thee fear, that it by them, because of truth, displayed may appear. And the tune is Kulross, Psalm 60, from verses 1 to 4. O Lord, thou hast rejected us and scattered us abroad. The service this evening is at 6:30 p.m. and it will be on Zoom and on sermon audio. The prayer meeting is on Thursday at 7:30 on Zoom, and at 8 p.m. we will then go live for the service at on sermon audio. That is 7:30 for the prayer meeting, and 8 p.m. we join sermon audio for the service. The services next Lord's Day, God willing, will be at 11 a.m. and again at 6:30 p.m. We'll conclude with the benediction. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, rest on and abide with you, now and forevermore. Amen.